Amen. Yes. Better is one day with God than a thousand elsewhere. That song gives us a good idea of where God is leading us in the beginning of this season of Lent. That we have a choice, just like the disciples that we heard called by Jesus in the Gospel of Mark. That when Jesus called out to them, Andrew and Simon, James and John, that they responded. They must have had a vision of that song, a version, better is one day following Jesus than a thousand tending their nets. Better is one day to follow God than a thousand elsewhere. Now, we begin the season of Lent by usually listening to some form of Jesus' call into our lives to follow. And Lent is one of those interesting things in the life of the church. There really is no scriptural precedent for it. That we have these 40 days, but minus the Sundays in there, it gets complicated. But it's a tradition that churches have created over the millennia. For thousands of years, we've had this season before the celebrations of Easter, before celebrating the time and the joy and the power of the resurrection, one of the greatest promises of our faith that we have hope for, that in Christ we will be raised with him, like him, that we will have eternal life in the kingdom of God with Jesus in the presence of God, the Father and Spirit, and all those who go before us, such a great cloud of witnesses, as the Apostle Paul tells us, that encourage us and leads us on to our faith. And that's all part of the Easter celebrations of Jesus' passion, crucifixion, and ultimately his resurrection. We begin preparing for that time. We often think of Lent as a time of preparation. But often people think of Lent as a time of giving something up, of making some kind of sacrifice. And I know we've talked about this many times, but I know for me as a child, we were always encouraged to give up something that we enjoyed in our lives, like giving up chocolate or drinking soda. Depending on your traditions, but of course here in Wisconsin, the great Friday tradition of fish fry, tradition of giving up, of sacrificing, eating meat on Fridays, led to the traditions of the fish fry. I remember one time as a young man, I gave up playing video games for the season of Lent. And that was hard. I really enjoyed playing video games. And it was a difficult thing. And I was proud that I was able to do it. I only played video games during Lent on Sundays, which are little days of little Easters in Lent, another tradition. I would later learn in yet other traditions, like the Orthodox tradition, that each week in Lent was a different fast, was a different sacrifice. Maybe for an entire week you would not eat any grains, any bread, anything like that. And then on Sunday, you would have a great celebration. You would have a feast in which focused on that which you had just fasted from, and would go through all through Lent that way. All of those things of giving something up, of fasting from something, sacrificing something that we meant something to us, that we enjoyed, were calls to help us focus more on God. When we desired those things, when we would want to turn towards that sweet, that candy, that soda pop, that video game, that nice T-bone steak, we would be called to prayer, to reflect on our relationship with God and grow closer to God that way. And that's a great spiritual practice of fasting. But I don't think that's exactly what we hear in the scripture for, at least for today, for what Jesus is calling. He's not just calling for us to give something up. Jesus, in his invitation to the first disciples, and Jesus in his first call to ministry, was a call to repent. Jesus said, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God has drawn near to you. Repent and believe the good news." Jesus was calling us to repentance. Now, repentance is more than just giving something up. Repentance is really a part of the process of transformation, of being changed, of being made new, of embracing and becoming new, to have been transformed. And that's why this Lenten season, we're calling it a season of transformation here. Our desire is not just to let go of something, not just to give up something and think about God when we miss that, but also to be transformed. We want this season, we want this process to change us, to make us new. Because I have a confession for you. Quite often when we just give something up for Lent, if we make it all the way through those 40 plus days of fasting, of giving something up, we generally go right back to them in the past. When we're done, I went right back to playing video games like I normally did, without even a second thought, eating chocolate, drinking soda, whatever. Well, the tradition of fish fry kind of stuck and has become a year-round tradition, hasn't it? But most often, if we just give up something, we'll end up picking it back up. And that's what God doesn't want. There's not a real change in that sacrifice. Maybe there's a little bit of a deeper connection with God in Lent, but what God really wants for us, what Jesus really wanted when he called those disciples, was for them to become something wholly new than what they were before. God wanted to transform them. And in fact, part of the story, overall story of the gospel is, in the New Testament of the Bible, is the transformation of the disciples that began with their call by Jesus there on the lakeside. That the men that were called by Jesus, that got up and dropped their nets and left and followed Jesus immediately as soon as he called to them. The men who, James and John, who left their father, they were changed and transformed. Then they changed and transformed the world. They go from being a group who don't understand things, who are fearful, who get things wrong. You know, the greatest example of that is Peter, always messing up. But as we hear the story of the Gospels, and then we hear their stories after, they are transformed. You would hardly recognize and believe that the disciples, who in the book of Acts and in their letters were the same bumbling fools who followed Jesus that day. But they are, because of a transformational relationship with Jesus. Because they engaged in a process of repentance. That's what I want us to begin in our season of Lent today. But as we do, I want us just to hold on to one key thing that is a quote from one of my favorite devotional writers, Max Lucado. He wrote once in a book saying, "God loves you just the way you are." And that's true. God loves you just the way you are, but refuses to leave you that way. God loves us all right now just as we are. Flaws and blemishes, things that we're good at and things that we struggle at. As a good batter or the world's greatest pitcher, God loves us right now, right where we are. But God refuses to leave us that way because God loves us so much. To be in relationship with God is to be loved, to be cherished and valued right now just for who you are. But it is also to be transformed by God's grace and God's love. Now, we can resist that transformation. We can struggle and work against that change in our lives. I think we're all really good at it. At least I know that I am. I sometimes resist God's transformation wholeheartedly, it seems, at times. But at other times, I found that there are ways to cooperate, to embrace God's transformational love in our lives, and to experience that transformation. So there's three things that can help us embrace it and participate and help us truly to not just give something up to, but truly be changed in this season of Lent for us. And we're going to begin to look at that, and it all starts with a good understanding of repentance, of exactly what Jesus is asking, what Jesus is saying when he opens his ministry, when he calls out to the first disciples and to us. When Jesus says, the time is now fulfilled. The kingdom of God has drawn near to you. Repent and believe the good news. We hear in that that there is something near to us. The kingdom of God, and it is something that we need to change to be a part of. We have to have some kind of an experience of transformation to embrace the kingdom of God. And the first part, as we see in the disciples in this passage, is, yes, of letting something go, of giving something up. The first part of repentance is a stopping of what one is doing, of stopping something, of letting something go. Playing video games, a habit that you know is not healthy, a relationship that is toxic, a belief that doesn't work, letting it go. Turning away from something is the first part of repentance. When Jesus was saying, the kingdom of God has drawn near to you, repent, he was asking the people to turn away from their current understanding of their faith and their understanding of God's presence and involvement in the world, to turn away from the idea that God was set apart and away from them in a holy of holy spots, that God's throne and God's dwelling was harmful to us and was separated from us. He was saying that God's kingdom, God's presence was near to us. Turn away from your old thought, your old life and understanding, and yes, then, here's the second part, turn towards something new. We have to let go of something, and in our lives, sometimes that's hard, of letting go. Sometimes we like to think of that letting go of the bad things or the things that we know are wrong and harmful for us, but sometimes letting go is also something that is good, is meaningful, is valuable. The disciples that followed Jesus that day let go of their livelihoods. They let go of their vocations. They let go of what they had done their whole lives as fishermen. They let go of their boats, their nets, and the sea. James and John were told, let go of working with their father, whom they loved, who they valued and cherished. They had to let go of that to follow Jesus, to answer his call. That is no small thing. Sometimes letting go is something that is old, doesn't work. And sometimes letting go what we have to let go of is valuable, important, something that is meaningful. But yet we need to let go of it. in order to follow Jesus. And then I said then, Jesus was also calling in repentance. There's two parts of repentance. Is that repentance is also a turning toward something. There's something new available. There is a new way. There is a new path. There is something new to understand and to experience. The kingdom of God, Jesus said, has drawn near to you. Repent. Turn away from your old thought of it and turn towards the new understanding of the kingdom of God. See the presence of God right here with you now. Feel it, hear it, and for them, touch it and be with it. Be in relationship with God incarnate in human form. Turn towards something new. The story with the kid for that I told with the kids of the little boy throwing the ball up into the air. He may have wanted to hit that home run, but he turned towards what he was good at, a new understanding of how he could win and be a part of something. Had to embrace that, had to let go and embrace. Let go, turn towards, and embrace. That's what God is calling us to do in repentance, to be transformed. That was the first two steps that those disciples were called to do, and they were willing to do it in their lives. Are we willing to do it in our own lives? Are we willing to repent, turn away from, to let go of, and to embrace and turn towards? But there's a third part of transformation that we need to think about today. You know, we often might wonder at why those four disciples so quickly, we hear the word immediately, something with urgency and importance, why they followed Jesus so eagerly and immediately and with that sense of urgency. I think it's because they had a firm foundation of their lives. There was something inside of them that they held on to no matter what, that they would never let go of, they would never turn away from. There was something that grounded them, that connected them, that they knew that no matter what they did, they could always count on in their lives. And I think that was their faith in God, their trust in God's love and God's presence. That when they heard Jesus' voice calling out to them, they could turn and embrace something new without fear and without hesitation. Now, I'm jealous. There's so many times in my life that it's hard to turn from something. Especially when it is called to give up something that's meaningful and valuable that I know and I understand and I trust in my life. But the times that I have, that foundation, my knowledge, my faith that God is with me, that Jesus loves me, has always been there, that no matter what I can hold on to, that no matter what I let go of and what I knew I need to embrace in following Jesus, that it never changes, that I've been able to hold on to that, and God has held on to me. So brothers and sisters, as we begin this season of transformation in our own lives, this season of Lent, we must be willing to repent fully, to turn away from, to turn towards the kingdom, but always hold on to the foundation of our faith. The foundation in that song that we sung at the beginning of the service, it says, though all hell would endeavor to shake, we'll never, never forsake. Jesus is always with us, always loving us, and will never let go of us, even as we strive and experience the challenges of transformation. Now, I know this is important for us in our own faith, but you know, this is what we have to go through right now as a world, as a church. We long for the days to return back to normal. But much has been accomplished as we have done things new and differently here. We've had to turn away from things. We've had to embrace new things as a church family. And we've also had to hold on to things and not let go of certain things that no matter the situation will never change. Brothers and sisters, this is a time for us to be transformed in our lives as people, but also to be transformed as a church. May we be willing to hear Jesus' call. The time is now. The kingdom of God has drawn near to us. Repent and believe the good news. Amen.